So I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us more like the Son of God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be in us, in our presence here in this church, and that what you are wanting to speak to us today would be so clear. And that all the other things that are going on, all of the things that have affected our emotions, that have consumed our thoughts maybe, God, we pray that you would be able to move in us despite those different things. That you would be able to move in us, that we would be able to open up our hearts to you. So that what you have to say to us today would be so clear, unmistakably, your heart and your word. And we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, so we're actually on our last topic of this series, and that is the topic of abortion. And we wanted to talk about this because partly it seems like it doesn't really come up a lot in discussion except for around election time. It seems like that starts to become a really big issue that people talk about. And so we wanted to touch on the subject, and we're really excited. We have some guests here today that have some experience you'll hear more about them later, but they have some experience that I don't have, I don't have that experience to share. And so my hope is that no matter where you stand, if you're a woman who has had an abortion, or maybe if somebody in your family, maybe you're a man whose girlfriend or wife had an abortion, a parent of a woman who's had an abortion, if that's you, we want to make sure that you are represented and that your voice, your perspective is heard from today. And if you're somebody who hasn't, and maybe you're somebody who is very adamantly against abortion, we want to make sure that your voice is also heard today too. So that's the purpose of the discussion today. And what we want to do is we want to start off, I want to show you a video. And this video, I saw it a couple months ago, I think on Facebook. Actually, the woman that came a couple weeks ago, Brenna, she had shared this. And I was like, wow, this video is amazing, and it really clearly states what I believe the heart of God is and what the heart of our church is. And basically what it says is that it's pro-woman and it's pro-child, and that there's this false dichotomy that we have to either be for women or that we have to be for unborn children. And so I'm not going to speak any more for it. We're going to go ahead and watch that video together.
Abortion is not some crazy, weird last resort. For me, in particular, because I did have two abortions as a young woman, I feel that my ability to access that kind of medical care made it possible for me to live out my dreams and do what I really wanted to do with my life.
All human life is precious.
Where's the money coming from to support people who aren't ready to be mothers or aren't financially stable to take care of a child?
You simply cannot defer protecting lives of unborn children because of cost.
What if we're being provided with two wrong answers? As Christians, we have to frame this issue for ourselves, and we have to make sure that we're being faithful to God and loving to our communities. There are polarizing voices shouting on both sides of this issue.
On one side, there are progressives who argue for a woman's choice. On the other, conservatives who argue for the life of the unborn child. But both sides are leaving out crucial aspects of the reality of abortion.
One speaks to the heart of women's struggles. Women who often feel oppressed, controlled, and victimized by men desire sexual autonomy in a society that has a history of shaming women. They want the freedom to choose the outcome of their own lives.
The other side speaks on behalf of the child who's voiceless, who's not yet born, yet still very much alive, valuable, and deserves the right to develop and grow in their mother's womb.
Amongst all the shouts, neither side is listening to the other,
and neither side answers with a holistic approach to the problem.
While progressives advocate for the rights and protection of women, they do this at the expense of her child and family. Helping a woman to abort her child does not solve her problems, but it can often cause more. A significant amount of women who undergo abortions report mental distress and anguish after having the procedure.
While some conservative voters and policymakers fight for women to go through with unplanned pregnancies, they often fight against social policies that make it possible for these women to care for their children and themselves.
Neither the progressive nor the conservative answer lives up to the gospel call. The Bible demands a framework that includes both compassion and conviction. The gospel calls us to a sincere compassion for human life and advocates for human flourishing from the womb to the tomb.
The gospel calls us to recognize the vulnerability of unborn babies and their mothers.
Mothers who often find themselves making hard decisions that impact the rest of their lives.
This is what the AND campaign is here to do, to help the church approach and think through this issue with a biblical framework, and to be able to do so confidently by answering questions concerning abortion. We, the AND campaign, we do this by providing a new narrative, a gospel-centered perspective that is both pro-woman and pro-child.
Women, if you have ever considered or had an abortion, God still loves you. The church should be here to support you and not shame you. God will take your hurts, your mistakes, and even something that seems unwanted and make it beautiful. He redeems.
We also refuse to disregard the struggles of women with crisis pregnancies. Without thoughtful social policies, women are often left without resources and opportunities to care for their children and themselves, which causes them to falsely believe that abortion is their best option.
Overlooked by medical professionals, the health disparities amongst Black women leave us 3 to 4 times more likely to die from childbirth-related causes. This is a fact that continues to be ignored by the traditional pro-life community.
When Black women who have chosen to carry their child to full term are still at risk of death, we must lead with a more compassionate posture and provide a community of support to these mothers who are faced with such bleak realities.
Despite some extreme policies of the prominent voices in the pro-life movement, as Christians, we cannot pretend the child doesn't exist. Even before his or her birth, the heartbeat is real, the movements are real, and the baby is a human being made in God's image. The child is alive.
Being pro-life, based on the gospel, requires us to be more than anti-abortion. It requires us to be true to our convictions of being a voice for the voiceless babies, while also being a community of support for the women, the mothers, engaging with sincere love and understanding and compassion of Christ.
Because at the heart of the matter, it's life.
I love that video. I think it's just so, it so clearly shows God's love.
Sorry, everybody. Gonna do my best.
I just think this is so important. And I wanted to share a verse that we're all familiar with, but a verse that I have been looking at in a new light. This is 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And what I love about this video, and something that I think is so clear to me, is that moral stances without compassion is nothing. It really is nothing. And as the church, it is our job to not only have moral stances that are what we believe to be biblical moral stances. If we don't have compassionate love as a verb, where we're loving others, it doesn't matter. And I love, there's a song I've been listening to that it says, Christ has no body now but yours. On earth, after Christ died, we became the hands and feet of Jesus. And if we're not acting out that love, and as Anya talked about last week, you know, are we representing the person that we say we're representing by our actions? Are we really the hands and feet of Jesus? Or do we sometimes just act like the mouth, proclaiming the word but not actually doing it? So I just wanted to start off with that video that, again, I just feel so clearly shows God's love. And with that sort of foundation, I would like to invite Ashley and Lily to come up. This is Lily, and this is Ashley. Ashley works for First Image, and Lily has been a part of the HEART program, which is part of First Image. So if both of you could just maybe say a little bit, just, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds, just kind of about who you are and what you do, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I'm Ashley Mills. I work at First Image on the development team, so over engagement and events. But I have been a part of the organization for about 4 years. I was a volunteer in one of the centers for a couple of years, one of our pregnancy resource centers. So I live in Portland, have two kids, and husband is in ministry. So yeah, my daughter actually goes to Larissa's, is one of Larissa's students. So it's kind of a small world.
Yeah.
Lily?
Hi, I'm Lily, and I am a campus missionary here in Portland, mostly at Portland State and WSU Vancouver. I'm married to an awesome man, and I have, like Larissa said, been through the HEART program.
Awesome, thank you. And with that, Lily, would you be willing to give just a little bit of your testimony today?
Yeah, thanks. Definitely. I don't know if a little bit.
As much as you want. We want to hear it all.
First of all, just really blessed to be here. Just, you know, question about, like, where is it safe to share my story, or, like, when is God's timing for it? And it was definitely confirmed coming here today. The Spirit is here, and you guys are so loving. And I hope that this is a blessing to you. And because I know it's helping me heal even more so I can do more of God's work that he's called me to. So generically speaking, so I grew up here in Portland, and spiritually I grew up, my mom, she's Chinese and she's Buddhist. And then my dad, he's white. He grew up in St. Helens, Oregon. I'm not too far from here, on a little farm. And apparently, he never talked about spirituality growing up at all, but due to recent conversation, it sounds like he kind of describes it as growing up in a fire brimstone-y kind of church. And so has just, like, grew up agnostic and never talked about spirituality at all. But then, so that's kind of my spiritual background growing up. And in high school, I was dating the love of my life and we decided to have sex because I don't know. Here in high school. And, but we became pregnant, and that was really scary because I was definitely like a, excelling student and going to college. And I mean, I wanted to speak in elections. I found a book at my house that I wrote in middle school that I was going to be the next president of the United States. So, that's like how high my ambitions were. And then I got pregnant, and, but I still wanted to keep the baby, but, I think anyways, I don't want to speak too much onto my parents, but I was at the time presented kind of with an ultimatum of essentially choosing my family or the baby. And so I did what I thought was the sacrificial thing, and I chose to get an abortion. And that was really hard because I went in for the procedure, and the nurse said that I was really calm, but I think deep inside I was just holding it in to the last minute. And I had gone in, and it was at the point where they had to use laughing gas, and it didn't work. So I felt the vacuum inside taking the child out of me, and that was very traumatic. And so I didn't think I could free of my parents, because I did not know that it was going to be like that. And I don't think my parents could forgive me, because I think I like to hope that I know that they've recognized that that was a terrible thing to have happened. And we have gone through a lot of family issues since then. And I didn't think I could forgive myself, because how could I ever forget? Living life after having an abortion like that is a true nightmare. So I lived with that for a few years, and thankfully I went to Oregon State University, and my friend there invited me to church. And, you know, I barely heard about God growing up, let alone Jesus. And I actually ended up going to, I don't know if anybody knows Pastor John Mark Comer, but my friend was visiting Portland and invited me there. And he's like so in depth with the details and the history. And I'm like, I barely know this guy, Jesus. But out of all of that, I still heard the gospel that God loves me. And through Jesus, he has the power to forgive me. And all I had to do was receive that. And I did. Praise God. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. So I went through a lot of hurt and pain, and delved into a lot of promiscuity and got in bad relationships for several years. And I think the main reason I got out of that was obviously God, but he loves using people. And one of the gals at my church invited me to coffee consistently every week, which now, being a minister that teaches discipleship, I know is discipleship. Just asking me out to coffee every single week somehow worked in my heart to be able to break off that relationship that I had at the time. We were like living together and really begin the sanctification process. Thankfully, that was the end of my college. And so after that, I got called here to Portland. And I got called into campus ministry and marriage. And I got to work with 423 Ministries. And that really helped me heal. It's a ministry for women and men. And they have a lot of different groups, but for love and sex addiction. Because not that we're going to talk about this today, but I think that's definitely where a lot of the heart issue comes, is putting others before God in your heart and your love and your sex lives. And then I found First Image, because I wanted to mention 423 just because there was already so much garbage and trauma and abuse that happened after the abortion, that God, I think his plan was to help me move through that first, because that was already really hard to talk about. So then after I had done that, I saw First Image through like something on Facebook, and I really want it to be God's plan and timing to, God, do you want me to be a part of this organization? Because I've always wanted to kind of give back at like a pregnancy resource center or something. But I didn't know which one was safe or like had really helped women and the baby. And so I went to their gala and I was like, cool, this is awesome. And you'll hear more about it later on why it's like, it's so holistic and it just loves the woman so much. And I really felt that as someone at the gala. But I had a friend, so this is like a separate part, on the way to campus ministry at WSU Vancouver, I asked a friend, I think the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask, hey, so there's this organization I've been interested in, but I really want it to be God. So please pray for more confirmation besides that this place is just awesome. So when I was going onto the campus, I was going to meet with a student. And of course, the student asked, I'm so sorry, I'm super busy. can we reschedule in like actually 2 hours? And I was like, okay, cool. And I had nothing to do, so what better to do than to evangelize? So we use this app called the God Test, and it's just like a 10-question survey in my organization. And I ended up finding like a gal and asking her these questions. All I ever do is say, hi, my name's Lily. I'm part of a club here on campus called Every Nation Campus, and we're taking a spiritual survey. Do you have a few minutes? And usually people say yes or no because they're late to class, or some, there's very, I, for my experience, there's very few people who say no because it is a spiritual survey on campus, which is great. But we ended up, and so that's all we know about each other. And I say that because once I've asked, I think like the eighth question, do you think, we talked about heaven a little bit, and this question is, do you think you'll go to heaven? And she says, no, because I had an abortion 4 months ago. And I was like, whoa. Just like, obviously God had orchestrated and put her in the way. So I was like, okay, God, confirmation received. But then the gal who I talked with later that day, she shared with me that she had 2 abortions. And I was like, okay, the fear trembling of God thing, like that you hear in the Bible, I was experiencing in real life. So obviously need to be part of First Image. And lo and behold, though, they have, when you've had an abortion, you want to work in the Pregnancy Resource Center, they want you to go through Heart, a post-abortion Bible study. So I was like, okay, I need to do this. And Mindy, the previous director, heard my story and got me in a group right away. And it was so amazing because as much as going through other recovery groups or being in small group, I went to small group. I was an overachiever probably in church maybe. And I went to the small groups and the activities and the Sundays and doing campus ministry and evangelizing. And I did 423 to help recover from the different aspects of the sexuality of it. But I never really got a chance to, I think, truly grieve my abortion, because it's one of the worst things to have your child taken away from you and in such a traumatic way, I think. And just being able to have the space to just, let alone say the word abortion, like we've probably said it way too many times right now. But, and then also just walk through forgiveness. As much as forgiveness is also kind of can be a daily thing or a lifetime thing for sure, For me, like I said, didn't realize I had to forgive my, I have to forgive myself every single day. And Heart also allowed me to be able to connect with my child in a way when it's so weird that you don't have, you've never been able to hold the child. Thankfully, after, when you get an abortion, they did an ultrasound, or at least for me, they did an ultrasound before the procedure. And when I went for my checkup, I had the sense to get the ultrasound photo, because they never like showed me it or like gave me the photo before. And thankfully, like they did, I asked for it and they gave it to me. And so just being able to connect with my child in a way was really healing, to name her and think about her, and through a biblical lens with people who will actually walk with you through the darkness where Jesus wants to walk with you to give you healing. And something God just kept moving through Heart. And there's a place where you can order a plaque, a national memorial for the unborn, where you can order a plaque for your child. And there's kind of a place here you can put it, but the national one is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is funny because I was like, okay, God, because I was going to go to the School of Campus Ministry for 8 weeks in Nashville, Tennessee. right after heart. So I was like, okay. And I pushed it off and I didn't call until I got there. And she was like, just so you know, this never happens, but we'll have your plaque ready in time. So that was just like a little fun like thing that God did for me, that I actually got to properly grieve and bury my child in a sense. And but the one thing that I feel like maybe isn't necessarily talked about in abortion is that God wants to redeem that too. And so while we're there, people might call me kind of, I think, an evangelist at heart. Like, I love talking about the gospel and Jesus and how he's changed my life. But when I was there, they had these like evangelism power hours, and where you try to like talk to people during the lunch hour and share like the gospel, share your story, and ask them if they'd like to receive Jesus. And it's hard to share the gospel with people, I think, and share the gospel with your friends. And that's kind of the perspective I had before going into this. So when they asked who received like Christ during your 1 hour of evangelism, I'd be like, oh, probably zero, but it's nice that they ask, you know, faith prayers. And gotta have a lot of faith. And people would be like, oh, I did. And there'd be like 5 out of just like 20 of us that had like led people to the Lord within an hour, like randomly. And so I was like, okay, I need this. I want to do this, God, like before I leave here. And so it didn't happen during a power hour, but my campus minister friend from Florida, she found this tea shop that she said was very Pacific Northwest-like, so invited me and the Seattle minister to go one evening, and it definitely was very Pacific Northwest-like. It looked like people probably practice witchcraft there with like the hanging herbs everywhere and trees on the tables, or the tables are like trees and stuff. It so happened to be a young man sat down at the end of kind of like this long table we were at and started talking to us. And he ended up being, his parents were Muslim. He lived in northern Canada and was there in Nashville, Tennessee for a Hindu yoga retreat. So it's very random, but he loved to talk about spirituality. And this coffee shop closed around like 6 o'clock. So we ended up talking, and I realized we were leaving and we never shared the gospel with him. Like, we never shared our stories. So, or we had never even prayed for him. And so we waited in the parking lot for him to come out. And I just knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to share my testimony. And at the time, I only shared with people that I had a traumatic family event, which can kind of be anything. And the Holy Spirit, while I was starting to share, was like, share your whole testimony. I was like, okay. So I shared that I got an abortion. And then I said something that I didn't remember that I said, and my friend had to tell me afterwards. But I said, once there was death inside of me, and now there's new life. Is that something you'd like to receive? And he said, yes. And so, yeah, like God is, if we as Christians can support these women, God can use these stories in such big ways, not just to heal yourself so you can walk through life, but to redeem and bring people back into the family that are lost. So yeah, that's my story, I guess.
Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, let's give a round of applause. Thank you for just your vulnerability and your boldness. You know, we have no right to hear your story, but you've shared it with us freely. And so thank you so much for that. I do have a couple of questions that I wanted to talk through. So the first question I wanted to ask, and we saw this in the video about being pro-woman and pro-child. We don't hear that very often. We hear so much like it has to be one thing or the other. And so I was wondering, like, especially Ashley, with your experience, is it really possible to be both pro-woman and pro-child?
Well, yes, I think so.
You know, if you're not familiar, the pregnancy, I mean, I think our pregnancy centers are an example of that. And unfortunately, the narrative around like pro-life things has really taken away from actually the work that centers do and that a lot of believers and Christians do every day and have been doing for 30 plus years. And that is being a safe place, being a resource for women in our community that if they're facing a crisis or unsupported pregnancy, they can come and get free services. They can come and get counsel, even just having the reality, being able to go somewhere where someone will sit and talk with you through your situation and have compassion, show the love of Jesus to you. So that's what I really believe that, you don't have to choose between the two, that like seeing both as made in the image of God and seeing women, and actually knowing them and having compassion on the complicated situations that often they're in and just saying, you're not alone in, is huge, that they can have someone to talk to and know they'll connect them, and that they, if they choose to carry or whatever that means, to parent or adopt, that they have someone there for them. So I think that a lot of times, you know, the sort of sounding, the thing we hear on TV or the media can really make it seem like there aren't actually people doing anything. And I know there are a lot of really faithful people there, loving women every day. So
yeah. I was just thinking, what a great example of being the hands and feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I actually have this memory of being in college, and you know, we're in a theology class, we're talking about this, and one of my friends was saying, like, you know, Christians need to like do better. We need to have these resources for women. And being familiar mm-hmm. with your ministry, it was like, I think there are. Yeah. I think there are people that are doing this, but we just, the world, that's, I think that's uncomfortable or what's the word? It's not, I can't think of it, but it's inconvenient to maybe acknowledge something like the Pregnancy Resource Center when we're trying maybe so hard to say, to be pro-choice or pro-life, things that are right in the middle go unnoticed, I think.
Yeah. And surely there's more that needs to be done, of course, and more things that everyone can do. But it is a reality already, I think.
Yeah. And thank you so much for you and everybody else at First Image.
We exist because churches like you like support us as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was especially First Image here in Portland. It really came out of the local church. Like mm-hmm. Churches started the pregnancy resource centers in Portland. And so I think it's unique in that way as other nonprofits that mm-hmm. we see us as a ministry out of the church. Yeah. So.
Yeah. For those of you who remember my dad throwing baby bottles at your head, that is, that all of that goes to First Image. Yeah. That's kind of like a, legend here.
I know.
My dad throwing baby bottles and hitting people in the head.
Oh gosh. With coins. I mean, when they have
first time visitors.
Oh no.
First time visitor.
They get pretty heavy with all the change in them. Hopefully they didn't have coins.
No, they didn't have all the change in it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go to our second question. And that is, especially again, with elections, we see so much arguing about, you know, trying to convince people, see it on Facebook, you know, on Instagram, people trying to convince others, but particularly during election, that we need to vote for the, the nominee that's pro-life. And so the question is, do you think, and this can be obviously for both of you, do you think it is better to try, like, do you think we should be trying to change people's minds with arguments? Or do you think we should just love other people? Or do you think it's a combination of the two?
I think when you read the Bible and you learn about the history a lot of the letters, especially in the New Testament, I think it was a very political world. I mean, so I don't think God wants us to step away from politics because he wants us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world, like you were saying. But the political rhetoric can be, I think, extremely damaging
Because when we as Christians in particular, I think, get sucked into it, it pushes away the space that we need to live in, to walk with the women and walk with others through the hard things. One of the things in heart, kind of like as an example, I think this happened. Well, actually, this happened during one of my inner healing sessions at the School of Campus Ministry. I thought I had a headache like the whole week because I was terrified of this inner healing session, because they ask a few questions, and I was just convinced the Holy Spirit was going to talk to me about my abortion in front of these other people, and I wasn't like ready for something like that. But the Holy Spirit's so gentle and kind that for me, the Holy Spirit led me to a place where it was after my abortion, the moment I woke up, because I remember it was like the sun was going through the window and it was warm. And that was really healing for me. So if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have that space in between to lead where the conversation needs to go or what actually needs to be talked about, and letting politics lead us in that kind of rhetoric, that's extremely dangerous, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Lily.
Yeah, Ashley, you want to say? Yeah, that's really good. One thought I had is, you know, it's both. I think it's both. I think what as Christians, it's kind of, I think around, like when you think about sharing the gospel, you know, there's this sort of saying like, you know, the gospel's with your actions only, or, and then some people it's like, you just what you say. And I think it's both. I think God calls us to be faithful and know the word, which I was really encouraged just to hear, how much you guys honor the word. And I think God wants us to know what he says about these things, and know, you know, that we are made in his image, and know what it means to love our neighbor, and know how to explain who Jesus is to people. But we can't just go out, you know, like, especially with abortion, I think a lot of the space is just about apologetics and the arguments that you can make to prove someone wrong. And I think we focus on who Jesus is, and then, you know, if someone is in need, God calls us where we're at, who is it that God's showing us to love and have compassion for. And one thing I think is abortion, or even just, you know, other issues around sexuality, can feel like this out there thing, that it's out there, it's not here. And I think it's in here. It's in our own hearts, our own struggles, but it's in our church, it's our sisters and our neighbors. And so when we think about whatever we share online or however we talk about it, that it was like, it's Lily, it's our friend, or it's a woman that we know, it's real. And it's not just this out there thing. I think it helps us to hold that space for both, and have that compassion and reality of when we are doing something, it's not someone that's remote from us. It's yeah. Us. Yeah. In our church.
Yeah. It's not like it's not something that we can just talk about as a concept, but yeah. It's something that is deeply personal for a lot of people, and people that we might not realize.
Right.
You know, you talked about how hard it was and how it took a long time for you to even become comfortable sharing about your abortion. And I'm sure there's people in our lives that have had abortions that have not felt comfortable and mm-hmm. have not come to that place where they can share about it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also what you said reminded me back of the AND campaign that we mm-hmm. watched the video of, you know, the compassion and conviction. They say also social justice and biblical values mm-hmm. and how we have to have both. And I love how they talk about how the church needs to have our own biblical mindset about it and not ascribe or assume that the political options are the only ones that there are.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have just one more question, and that is, how can the church better love women who are thinking about or who have had an abortion? And are there any actions or attitudes that Christians have done or taken that have been detrimental? If, I don't know, Lily, if you are comfortable sharing those sorts of things, or maybe if you've seen those.
Yeah. Well, I think we already sort of spoke to it a little bit, is what the church can do. And I think you guys are doing it. One of the things right now is just talking about it. It being able to talk about it and talk about difficult issues and be able to, I had a pastor, we had a meeting that he talked about whenever you have the culture of tackling the hard truths of the Bible or the things in the culture together all the time, when you come to things like this, it's kind of like, all right, we're doing this together. We're going to get dig in and like have the ability to talk through these things. And I think that if our churches and even as Christians, we are aware and we encourage one another and we bring things up like this, that is huge. And I think also if we're discipling people in these issues, if it's off top, if it's off limits, we have failed, like especially younger people, because they don't know the culture is discipling them on this. You know, it's anywhere from like what they should be, you know, thinking about sex before marriage or like birth control, like all these things that if nobody in the church ever speaks to them, then no, they're not being discipled on them. The culture is going to tell them what they should be thinking about that. And I think, I know that that is something that's been surprising for, I know I'm not that old, but like my generation or even older, that younger women are thinking completely differently than in the church that we thought, because we are not talking about these things. And so I think that, you know, that is what the church can do. And especially it starts with our own hearts, right? Like that maybe we need healing. Maybe we need to address some of the things that we have experienced and maybe aren't thinking biblically or rightly about before. Yeah. So there's a lot of stories, I'm sure, of specific examples of the church not doing this well. I think, unfortunately, I don't know if Lily has any like personal thing. One thing that comes to mind is just very practically that I've learned through the HEART program is just, be a safe person. And also if someone shares that with you, realize how privileged you are to know that and to immediately thank them for sharing. That's a really practical thing you can do. And I think goes a really long way. A lot of times the worst stories are when somebody in any kind of thing that you share that's traumatic or very personal, if you ignore it or downplay it or even immediately jump to assumptions, those things are going to make it not a safe place for a woman to share. And so you might think you have to have all the answers or know exact right thing or have your whole like pat down reason why you fall on this issue, but she's not asking for that for you. Like, or she's not asking you to tell her the reason what you think about the whole issue. She's just sharing her story and saying, this is, you know, something I've been through, or so you don't have to have all the answers for that. So I think that's, yeah, I don't feel Lily, but I think.
And this reminds me of a story actually. So, now, since I've shared my story that time and saw the impact that it has, that it can bring people to Jesus, I've basically shared it with everyone that I can. And one time I went evangelizing on the campus and I did not pray beforehand. So that was probably my fault. But it's kind of nice that I can see it in the way Ashley was talking about being able to talk about it in the church, because this girl I shared that. Most people, when I share my story, like, you don't have to have the best reaction. Most people like stare at me like terrified, and that's totally okay, because they're with me listening and trying to understand and trying to be there with me. But this one young lady, it just like was so weird. There's like a spiritual boundary happening or something, and she just like couldn't comprehend what I was trying to share, because her immediate response was like, oh, but it's your body. And I'm like, I don't think you're listening to me. So I kind of had to, that was bad for me, because the biggest thing for evangelism, or I think just like I think in the whole action part of love is listening is actually an action. Mm-hmm. It's actually something so hard. Like if I evangelize for some reasons, the other person wants to share their whole life story with me because of Jesus and his anointing. But like, I have to ask the Holy Spirit the whole time, please help me listen. Please help me listen. I'm a terrible listener. My husband's like the best listener. I'm a terrible listener and I talk way too much. So I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. And I think that in itself is an action that we can all practice and be able to walk out that love that you guys have been talking about so much.
Yeah, I was thinking based off of what both of you have said that I think really at the core, we all want to be like heard and understood. Yeah. And I think that listening goes a long way with that. And I mean, I think maybe all of us have experienced where we like bared our heart at some point and then we realize that they misunderstood us and that feeling of like just isolation and like, well, if maybe this person that I've chosen to share with, if they can't even understand where I'm coming from, you feel it's a terrible feeling. And so, yeah, I can see how that would be so important to just to listen and to make sure that they feel heard and safe. And I also wanted to mention, you talked about education and I didn't know this before. I looked on First Image's website, they have a ministry where they called the Reality Project, and they actually get to go into Portland public schools and have sex education for them that encourages the kids to think critically about their sexuality, to have integrity, all of these things. And just like, wow, that a faith-based organization would be allowed to go into public schools is incredible. And I think really a work of God.
And they're hilarious.
Yeah.
I got to listen to a presentation and they just can connect with the kids so deeply. It's amazing.
So that's so awesome. Yeah. Like, and how wonderful to see an organization that is loving women, that is loving children, and that is working to fix the heart of the problem, which I think you had mentioned is, you know, broken relationships and broken understandings of sexuality.
Yeah.
So, wow, I am just so just amazed and so happy that we have First Image here in Portland, that we get to support you.
Yeah.
Thank you, both of you, so much for coming. Can we give them a round of applause? Thank you. And I also just want to encourage you, if you are a woman who has had an abortion or who is thinking about an abortion, or if you know someone who is, we do have information in the back for First Image, just resources for you. And I also want to say, and we've said this before, if you fall differently, if you believe differently about abortion than we do, you are still welcome here at this church. We still love you. We still want to be unified together as a church. And again, just thank you so much. What a privilege for us to have you here and for you to share your story. I want to sort of tie this in. We're going to be taking communion. And Lily had mentioned that the thing that really impacted her was that Jesus had the power to forgive her. And I think also of the woman that you had mentioned that said she doesn't think she'll go to heaven because she's had an abortion. And wow, that really hits me. You know, hearing that, it's like, I want everybody to know that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And Lily, I'm also just so inspired by just your heart for evangelism. Like, I mean, how many of us, if we had 2 hours to spare, we'd like get on our phones or something. Like, I just know that would be my first instinct. And we have such a gift and such a privilege to have just the Holy Spirit here with us and to have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And that is when we take communion, that's what we remember. And that's what we are, that's what we're about right here as we take the bread and the juice. We're here to accept that forgiveness. And I want to add something onto it today. I also want to encourage you that not only are you here to accept that forgiveness, but to commit to giving, to sharing the good news, and to giving and to present that forgiveness to other people as well. And here we have the bread, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that there is nothing that we can do that can tear us away from your love. There is no sin we could commit, no mistake we can make, no thing that we do that can take us away from your love, or that could make you forsake your love for us. And God, we don't deserve it. And so we thank you that you have given it freely to us. And we commit, as we take the bread and the juice, we commit to sharing that with other people. Let's take the bread. And Heavenly Father, as we have the juice and we think of the sacrifice that you made for us, God, help us to sacrifice in the same way. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Not just through our moral stances, but through our love, our compassionate and active love for one another. Help us to do that, Lord. Let's drink. Mm-hmm.